Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. Good to have you along. We have a great hour today. This is an opportunity for you as you have been in the process of adopting a child, or two, or three, or more. We've got some wonderful advice for you today. Or if you are a parent with children that have been adopted and you want to just call and let us know where they're from and how that all proceeded well, we'd love to hear from you. We've got someone who's been there, done that. Ted, I always appreciate on Connecting Faith any time we have an opportunity to talk with someone who's got some life experience, mm-hmm. And has lived it out, because that's really, what our faith is all about. It's about living it out. It's not just sort of gaining information, but it's applying information, which is where wisdom comes in.
So. Yeah, most definitely. And, to say a word for maybe somebody who heard your introduction there and is not really excited to talk about adoption today. Yeah. Well, there is something we can do as the church, too, to come alongside those that are called to adopt. And we'll talk more about that as we go.
Yeah, we get to. But our guest today has been there and done that. A bunch of times. Mary Austin is a former obstetric nurse, a homemaker, a speaker, and an author of several books, including Family Feasts for $75 a Week. And not sure if that one's, that was a 1960s version. Yeah. No, we'll have to find out when she wrote that. A Sane Woman's Guide to Raising a Large Family, which I guess we may want to ask her about that as well.
Is that possible?
Well, sure. She would. So what is she now? No, that's the question. Anyway, all right. And Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting, and that's the book we're going to reference. This came out, I think, about a year ago from Thomas Nelson. We've got a couple of copies to give away as well. And it'll be a wonderful resource for you. I want to encourage you to sign up for it whenever we have resources available. We do make them available. We do a drawing at the end of the hour. So give us a call. Talk to Carissa. Give us your information. We'll put you in the drawing at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. And more importantly, we'd love to have you join the conversation. Maybe you have experienced the adoption process a time or two and just want to share a story or two about that. Or you're considering it, or maybe you were adopted, and you just want to join in the conversation. We'd love to have you join. And we talked to Mary last year, I think, when the book came out. She, her and her husband and their 10 children live in Idaho. 4 of their children were born to them. 6 arrived via adoption from South Korea and Ethiopia. And Mary has been blogging about motherhood, food, frugality, and adoption at owlhaven.net. For the past half a dozen years, anyway. Mary, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes, and we didn't really mean to cast any doubts about your saneness, but just sort of. Although there were probably days when you wondered, I'm thinking.
Exactly. And, I did write that book before I had 5 teenagers in the house at the same time, so. Yeah, I'm just laughing along with you as you're talking about sanity or insanity.
Oh, man. Talking Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting. Mary, you were an obstetric nurse, married your high school sweetheart at age 19, loved kids, but somehow God sort of got a hold of your heart about the idea of adopting. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, we had 4 kids at the time by birth, and we 2 girls, 2 boys. We thought for a while we were done, but then my eyes were open to, actually, it was the plight of little girls in China because of the one-child policy then in China. That was in the late 90s, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I wonder if maybe we're not done having babies, and it was a whole process of talking with my husband and praying over it, and it was not an easy decision, especially for John. He's a cautious man and wants to take good care of our family and didn't want to overextend resources. And but in the end, God spoke to his heart as well, and we adopted Josh from Korea. in 1998 when he was 4 months old, and that was our first adopted child.
You've also adopted, so six is the number of adopted children. So
right.
You and I'm sure everyone was different in unique ways, but there's probably a lot of similarities. Maybe say a word about what was unique or what was the same, what was different.
Well, each and every time we just saw the ability of hearts to expand and children to become truly yours in your heart, just like a child who was born to you. I think what was different in some cases was the amount of time for the child to feel comfortable in our family due to varying past experiences and varying ages. Josh, our first adopted child, came home at a very young age, and then Ben was 20 months when he came home, so he was a little bit older, had a tiny bit more life experience, and took a little longer to settle in. And then we adopted our two younger girls from Ethiopia. They were a year apart, and they were also both under the age of two. And then our most recent adoption was in 2007 of older girls who were 9 and 11 when they came home. And, you know, when a child has had a whole life and memories and many, many experiences before they come to you, you know, it just makes sense that it's going to take longer for them to feel comfortable in your family. And so, yeah, like I said, each time was a great heart-expanding experience, but each child's voyage into the family was a little bit different.
Mary Austin's my guest. The book that we're referencing is called Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting. We'd love to have you join the conversation, too. I want to make sure that if there's a question or a comment that you'd like to add to the conversation, you give us a call, join in. Maybe something you've considered, or you have family members that are, you know, maybe brothers and sisters or sons or daughters, a married couple that are looking to adopt, or you've just been wondering about it, or you've experienced it yourself and just like to share from that experience. I'd love to hear about your children, your family, what countries you've adopted from, and you can give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. I want to make it as practical as possible today as we talk with Mary about what to expect when you're adopting. November is National Adoption Awareness Month or Adoption Month, and so it's a good time to be talking about this subject. And Mary, one of the things that you say kind of early on is you address the issue of a loss for your adopted child, and you sort of touched on that, but say more about what you mean by you know, a child dealing with loss when they come into your family.
Well, sometimes when people adopt, they assume that if they are adopting a child as an infant, that because all those child's memories will be with the new family, that maybe the child won't have loss. But the truth is that any child who was separated from his first family has already experienced loss. And kids are so different as far as how they will experience those feelings and to what intensity level they will feel those feelings, and different times that questions might come up. A child may have just really smooth sailing in, you know, the early years, preschool years, but then they may have some real questions come up. Of course, adolescence is a common time where kids will have questions, but even earlier, you know, kids may need to revisit the facts of what you know about their first family, and you know, a really big question in an adoptee's mind is often, why was my first parent not able to parent me? Was there something I did? That's often actually something that kids assume is true, that maybe they weren't a good child and they were sent away for that reason. And so we as adoptive parents need to be just really willing to go there with our kids. And you know, sometimes that can be challenging when or if we have gone through loss to come to adoption ourselves. And we can sometimes feel a little intimidated by the idea that there are other parents out there in the wings. And, you know, it can sometimes be hard to just be straightforward with our kids and say, you know what, I bet you're thinking about your first mom. You know, it's your birthday today, or it's Christmas, and you have memories of your of time with your mom a different year, or, you know, there's all sorts of times and triggers and reasons that a child might need to talk through some feelings about that fact. It's a really pivotal part of a child's life, whether it happens to them in infancy or whether they come to a new family at an older age with memories already of their first family.
Is there any rule of thumb in terms of when you bring up the conversation, say that, you know, your birth mom, you know, I'm not your birth mom, and bring up the conversation, yes, you are, in fact, adopted into our family?
I think probably the earlier the better, and the more matter-of-fact we can be about it, the easier it'll be for the child. You know, when your baby is little, you can just, in very simple terms, you know, just say to that little baby or toddler, yeah, you know, I bet your first mom thinks about you on your birthday. Or, you know, you were born to another mommy and then you came to me. And I think that the more practice we have when our kids are very tiny, and maybe when they don't even always understand the meaning of our words, the easier it is for us to be matter-of-fact about it as they grow. In the case of my own children, it's obvious that they don't look like John and me, and so it's not like something that we could have hidden anyway, even if we wanted to. But, you know, I have heard stories of kids who were not told about their adoption status until, you know, 5, 6, 10 years old, and were really blown away and kind of felt betrayed by not being given that basic truth about themselves. And so we just have to be brave, and we have to be straightforward and loving, and you know, speak to that child's developmental level as clearly as we can, and, you know, pray for God to give us grace and the right words. And I think part of the hardest part of the conversation is that it does sometimes cause kids pain, and we can't take that pain away even though we so much want to. So we just have to boldly go there with our kids and be those encouraging ears and those arms around them as they're walking through the hard truth.
I know you're going to find more encouragement as you listen today to Connecting Faith as we hear more from Mary Austin. Mary writes regularly at a blog site called owlhaven.net. And she blogs about motherhood, about food, frugality, and adoption. Mary's a former obstetric nurse, a homemaker, a speaker, and author. Mary and her husband, John, have adopted 2 boys from Korea, 4 girls from Ethiopia. They have 4 natural-born children as well, so it's a family of 10. And she's authored the book Family Feast for $75 a Week, A Sane Woman's Guide to Raising a Large Family, and the book we're referencing, Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting. Got a couple of copies of that book to give away. It's a wonderful resource, and I know that if you're thinking about the process or maybe even in the process or have experienced it, you would just appreciate getting Mary's insights. So give us a call, sign up for a copy of the book. We'll do the drawing at the end of the hour, and tell us a little bit about your family, too. If you're in the process, we'd love to hear about it, or if you've already chosen adoption, how did that go? We'd love to have you interact with us today. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. It's 877-933-2484. We'll get to your calls and comments coming up in just a moment. Adoption Month, Adoption Awareness Month, and we're focusing on this important work that many have taken on, and we're grateful for that. Still a lot of opportunities. So today we're talking Forever Mom, what to expect when you're adopting. You learn about preparing your other children for new siblings, about helping babies and toddlers and older children settle in, about addressing misbehavior while remaining connected and nurturing your marriage in the midst of it all. That's some of what Mary Austin addresses in this wonderful book, What to Forever Mom. And you can join us with the conversation as well at 877-93-FAITH. We'd love to hear your story. Susan is calling in from Medina. Susan, you're on with Mary Austin. Go ahead.
Hi. My husband and I have, I know a lot of prospective adoptive parents have terrible doubts. You know, am I doing the right thing? What am I getting myself into? Am I really meant to do this? And I just wanted to share our story, which was my husband and I didn't have children of our own. And for years we had been saying, if we adopt and we get a little girl, we're going to name her Sophia. We said that for 10 years. And finally we, you know, applied for adoption. Everything went through. We had the papers. And we had to go to Cambodia to get our daughter. And all the documents were in Cambodian script, so we didn't know anything, that we couldn't read any of them. And when we showed up at the orphanage and gave them our papers, they said, oh, you're here for Sophia.
Hmm. How fun, huh?
It was kind of chilling, actually, because I realized later, well, I didn't have kids all those years because my daughter that God picked out for me hadn't been born yet. Hmm. And now she was finally waiting for us.
And that was, and how long ago was that you brought your Sophia home?
It's been 14 years.
Wonderful. Susan.
So she's 15 now.
Good. Thank you.
And I wanted to say another thing about interracial adoption. My daughter is very, very dark-skinned, dark brown hair, dark brown eyes. And my husband and I are both very fair-skinned Irish types. And when her little friends, when she was in, like, second grade, first grade, when her friends found out that she was adopted, they were all shocked.
Hmm.
It never occurred to them that the fact that she didn't look like us meant she wasn't our child. And they were going around asking people, do you think she knows she's adopted? So, yeah, if she looked in the mirror, she probably does.
Sure.
So they're just things that you get paranoid about that are not worth the fear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, God is really there the whole time.
Good story. Thank you for sharing, Susan. Mary, I'll let you just maybe just react a bit. I don't know if you heard all of the story. But...
Yes, I just had to gasp when I heard Sophia, because what an amazing story. And just God's walking there before you. That's just awesome. And, you know, Susan, you talk so about such an important point, the fact that God is just there watching over every step of the process. You know, just at this very beginning bit of this conversation, you know, I talked about some hard stuff, but just yesterday, three of my kids are all seniors this year. And so just yesterday, they went to get their senior pictures taken. And so they were, I wanted a picture of all three of them together, because how often do you have three seniors all at once? And so the photographer was set them in a row there, and they were joking with each other and kind of feeling a little bit silly getting their pictures taken. But I just looked at them and thought, here are these beautiful children who I get to call my own. And it's just an amazing gift from God, and it's a huge and tremendous joy. And, you know, just seeing them interacting, I mean, they're just normal brothers and sisters. They pick on each other, and they get mad at each other, and they love each other. And, you know, it's just truly family. And yet God had to do so much and open so many doors to bring them all together into our home. It's just a gift from God.
Mary, say more about, you know, having that kind of outlook that, you know, God is orchestrating and bringing together, because it just seems like the adoption process is just, there's so many fits and starts. Nothing's in a straight line, really. So how do we, I guess, stay confident and stay moving forward when it seems like there's lots of setbacks?
Well, I think it does come down to remembering the promises that God has for our lives and staying grounded in the Word and just believing that He will be faithful through all this process. We definitely had back and forths and doors shutting and doors opening in different ways. And, you know, you just have to remain confident that He who began a good work will carry it on to completion. And sometimes that path does not look at all like you expect it's going to look. And yet, you know, it's guided by God and led by God and guarded by God. And so we can move forward with confidence.
Do you have maybe advice about choosing an agency or things that we should be looking for? Are there red flags?
Well, of course, it's always good to speak with other families who have used that agency. I think that in recent years, international adoption has had a lot of issues and a lot of challenges. I know Ethiopia, just for one example, the process has changed tremendously because for a while there was corruption in there, and with so much demand for babies, there was unscrupulous people who stepped in and did things they shouldn't do, both in country and probably sometimes within agencies. And so we need to not be afraid to ask hard questions and talk to people, not only the people who the agency recommends as their recommendations, but, go to adoption forums online and talk to a variety of people and of course, pray for discernment and wisdom and, God will guide you also in that. But it definitely is an important decision to choose your agency carefully.
Could you have, gotten your girls from Ethiopia today if you were just starting the process? I mean, has it changed that significantly?
Well, from what I've heard, it's often 2 or 3 years now to go through the adoption process. And part of the reason that it's taking much longer is a good thing. They're just making certain that those kids do not have family in country who can take care of them, because there have been some cases, stories told of very impoverished families literally being offered money for children, and we do not want to be any part of that. We want to help families who would be in difficult situations. There's a really great foundation called Bring Love In that literally supports families on the brink so that they can keep their children, and that this Bring Love In works in Ethiopia. So that's a great example, an alternative to adoption for kids who have families who desperately want to keep them, but for financial reasons may not be able to. So I don't know exactly what would have happened, and I do know that God opened doors to get our girls into our home, and from what we've investigated, our adoptions were above board and things happened as they should. But we definitely appreciate some of those safeguards that are now being offered in the midst of Ethiopian adoption, just to make sure that the kids who are coming to families are kids who truly need families.
We're going to talk more with Mary Austin in just a couple of minutes. Mary is a former obstetric nurse, a homemaker, a speaker, an author, and she writes regularly at the blog site owlhaven.net, writes about motherhood and food and frugality and adoption. We're talking about Forever Mom, what to expect when you're adopting. It's a great resource. We have more comments to get to. We'll talk about attachment issues as well. Those are important. We'd love to hear your adoption story as well. If you've got a story or have a question about the process, give us a call, 877-93-FAITH. Sign up for one of the copies of Mary's books as well. It's 877-933-2484. More with Mary Austin just ahead.
Where love takes you in, and everything changes. Starts with the beat of a heart when love takes you home.
Stephen Curtis Chapman, of course, who has been outspoken, he and his wife in the area of adoption, and many have gotten on board. We're so grateful for the hundreds and the thousands that are hearing God's call to choose adoption. For those that need a family to love them, Forever Mom is the book we're referencing today. It's from Mary Austin. The subtitle is What to Expect When You're Adopting, and Mary knows what she speaks. She and her husband, John, have adopted 6 children, 2 boys from Korea, 4 girls from Ethiopia. They have 4 natural-born children as well, and this book will help you learn more about preparing your other children for new siblings, about dealing with attachment to parenting, nurturing your marriage in the midst of it all. We've got a couple of copies to give away, and you can call in and sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. And we'd love to hear your adoption story as well. If this is a process you've gone through, love to just give you an opportunity just to talk a little bit about your kids and your experience. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. Mary, say a word about, you know, when those kids come home, it's going to take a little time to attach. So we sort of addressed that earlier, but, you know, how do we handle the difficulty of attachment when it's not going kind of like you'd hoped or expected?
Well, I think when children first come home, again, they're individuals. Some children will find a way to settle in and be comfortable quickly, and some will take longer. But in either case, no matter what our kids' reaction to us is, our job is to steady on and keep loving them and keep reaching out and keep trying, you know, being sensitive to what their comfort levels some children will feel okay about being hugged right away. Some older children may be a little more standoffish, and, you know, you may need to start with pats on the shoulder or a quick side hug or affection that is less close and cozy than you first envisioned it would be, especially with older children. You need to go kind of slowly and see what they're comfortable with. But don't be put off by kids who are standoffish at first and need more time to settle in, because it really does take children a lot of time. And, you know, I know that with parenting our biological children, I didn't realize how much of my natural nurturing feelings came because I was getting quick, warm feedback from the child. You understand that a little bit more when you do bring home a child who is more resistant and resists smiling or leans away when you snuggle and cuddle, and you realize that those feelings of attachment are actually a two-way street. And so it can be draining to be always leaning in towards a child who is leaning away, but they still need that, and we have to kind of set aside our own feelings of that. And sometimes we can feel hurt. Honestly, you know, if a kid is rejecting our love, but we just need to keep being steady and not worry so much about their response to love, but just make sure the love is still coming. And it's very much loving like Jesus when we love without getting much back at first.
Did you find yourself having sort of a different set? I mean, obviously, every child is different, so we need to parent, you know, according to their, I guess, their bent. But did you have maybe different sort of rules or standards of thinking, maybe in terms of bedtime or, you know, eating meals, cleaning the plate, those kinds of things?
Absolutely. Sometimes when a child is newly home, they may need an earlier bedtime than some other kids. The whole adjusting to a new family can be tremendously exhausting to a child. They also may be waking up a lot at night and needing you to come and respond in the night. So you definitely do need to weigh all those factors in there. And when it comes to food, that can be a really big issue for a lot of newly adopted children, especially when they come at an older age. And some of them have, well, like my girls from Ethiopia who came at age 9 and 11, they'd been eating different food all their lives. And we did cook some Ethiopian food when they came home, but, you know, we had a lot of American food. And guess what? American food tends to have cheese on it, and in Ethiopia, they don't eat cheese much. And so there were so many things that our girls had to get used to that were new, and some of the food just was outright disgusting to them. I know for a while I thought they would eat nothing other than white dinner rolls and bananas because those were very familiar things to them, and they enjoyed those things. And so we kind of tried to major in the majors there and make sure the kinds of things that they liked were offered at every meal. But one of the things that I definitely had to change was our rules about food. Before our older girls came home, we were always the kind of family who, well, I believed that, and this is silly now for me to even say it, but I really thought that kids were picky because they were allowed to be picky. And if you just make them eat a little bit of anything, they'll gradually like mostly everything. And guess that what? That worked just fine for 8 of our 10 children. But it didn't work so well for our older adopted kids. And so for a while, I was trying to squeeze them into this mold that had worked well with our other children. And it was not working well for them. And furthermore, you know, food is a tremendously nurturing thing. So one of the ways that we can love our children is by just offering them what they like. And obviously, that's not feeding candy and ice cream every single meal. But it can mean leaning towards those things that you know that they enjoy and making sure that there's something that they enjoy eating at every meal. And sure, have them taste a bite of this or that here or there because that will gradually broaden their palates. But I know for a while at first with our older girls, I really had it in my mind that I was going to change their tastes, and food was a real hard issue for a while, and I wish I could have just said, you know what, my mom has this saying, when things are hard and she needs a little perspective, she says, does it affect your salvation? And guess what? Those food issues do not affect your salvation. So it's okay to feed kids bananas and white dinner rolls for a while if that's what they need to feel loved and nurtured.
Yeah, because there's enough stress. I mean, parenting is no easy task anyway, right? And you
right.
can feel pretty insecure about most any aspect of it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. We all call our own judgment into question over and over again, depending on how well it seems to be working for any given child.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you were talking about, you know, food, but you also mentioned sleep. That I had just was looking again at the book, and you mentioned that, you know, sometimes the nighttime is one of the most difficult times for maybe an older adopted child, because it's just they can the fears kind of creep in.
Absolutely, it can be really scary for a child to be moved to a whole new place, and many many children have very disrupted sleep patterns for a while. I know that. When our older girls came home, they preferred to sleep in the same single bed together just because it helped them feel more comfortable. And there was familiarity there next to them because they're biological sisters and grew up together. And that was a great blessing to them. But even babies who come home in infancy and toddlerhood may need some extra grace and some extra time to settle in. You know, a lot of times, say a baby comes home at 12 months or so, well, a child who was born into a family and didn't have to move to a new family may already be sleeping all night by 12 months of age. And sometimes a mom or dad may feel like, well, my child is that old. My baby should be sleeping all night too. But it's probably better to look at that child as emotionally being about the age of the number of months they've been in your home. So say you have a 12-month-old who's been home for 1 month. Well, treat them like a 1-month-old as far as sleep needs at night, and expect that they're going to be waking up often, and don't be surprised if they may need to sleep next to you, or you can have a mattress on the floor next to your bed. One of the things that I did when Ben came home, Ben was 20 months at homecoming, I put a double bed mattress on the floor in his room so that I could lie next to him when he went to sleep, because he needed that to settle down. And then I could slip away and then return when he woke in the night. And he often did wake in the night, sometimes two or three or four times. But if I went back to him, then he'd go back to sleep. I think the big thing to steer clear of, especially when your child has been home like 2 years or less, is to steer clear of feeling like you need to let the child cry it out to get a better sleep pattern. What our children, what our adopted children need to learn is that we will respond to their needs, and those needs don't just conveniently stop in the nighttime. In fact, they may be more intense at night. So we shouldn't be afraid to just meet those needs, and gradually those kids will mature. And, you know, my Ben is the one I was just talking about, who's a senior in high school now, and he's very independent these days. But when he was a one-year-old, he needed me to be very close, and I'm glad that I was able to meet those needs and help him become the secure person he is today by God's grace.
Is there issues time to time with maybe giving more attention to your adopted child than the rest of your family? And if so, how did you deal with that, or what do you recommend?
Well, I think that it's wise, if you realize the potential challenge beforehand, to talk to your children who you already have and say, you know, this child, no matter the age, may need some more time and attention at first after he or she comes home. And you may need to, if you can prepare your other children for those needs, then they will be less surprised by it. I think it's also a good idea to try to find a little bit of time now and then with your other kids. Maybe you could sneak away to the grocery store and just bring one of your other children with you and have a little bit of time in the car to talk and just let other children in the family know that although you're very busy with the new child, their needs are still important and they're not lost in the shuffle. There are also times when it is fun to, you know, speak to a grandparent and say, hey, this child could really use some extra one-on-one time. Do you want to bring him to your house to make cookies sometime next week? It is definitely really wise to kind of have that broad view and pay attention to the kids who are not as challenged, but who also may be going through some challenge by this new family member. And, you know, that happens any time you add a child to the family. My second sister just had her third baby, and so her little two-year-old is going through some adjustment challenge as she learns to be a big sister, and so she needs a little extra loving from me when I come to visit, and from Erica when Erica has her arms free from the baby. So it's just a part of family, kind of making space for new family members.
Sure. Getting good advice from Mary Austin, warm advice and fresh perspective to inspire, inform, and hopefully affirm, whether you're a parent of an adopted child or interested in pursuing adoption. We got some great conversation yet to come. Mary Austin is author of the book Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting. And we got a couple of copies to give away here at the top of the hour. 877-933-2484. Would love to have you sign up for that, be in the drawing for that. And if you have a question or an adoption story, too, we'd love to hear that as well. We want to talk about maybe ways that the church can surround and friends and family can step in and be supportive of this choice. And so we'll get to that with more of Mary Austin in just a moment. Former nurse, homemaker, speaks regularly, has written several books, including Forever Mom. And she writes on the blog owlhaven.net. And we'll put a link up on that on our website as well. And talk with Mary in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Trouble might drag you down. You get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone. Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
It's 48 past the hour. Talking today with Mary Austin, who encourages moms through her books, her speaking, and her blog at owlhaven.net. She and her husband, John, high school sweethearts, have four children by their eighth anniversary, and then after God opened their eyes to the needs of orphans all over the world, they began their adoption journey. They have adopted two boys from Korea, four girls from Ethiopia, the youngest, I think, now 10, and as you mentioned, you got several graduating from high school, so a lot of change and growth going on in the Austin family. And we welcome you to join the conversation as we talk about her book, Forever Mom, what to expect when you're adopting. And Ted, you and I were talking a little bit before the program, and Mary sort of alluded to it, that sometimes maybe a grandparent or someone can give some extra attention. But churches, maybe a Sunday school class or a support group can play a role, too, in helping out.
It really can. I think just briefly of a woman in our church whose daughter made some bad choices, had some kids out of wedlock, lost custody of those kids, and then her mom, grandma, adopted those kids for herself. So she's raising these three young kids now in her home. She herself has some health challenges, so we've come in there and taken the kids for a few hours. Others in the church have come around her and just given her a respite, you know, for a half day or something. And, you know, as I was saying at the outset of the show, maybe you're not called to adopt necessarily, but you can certainly help out.
Yeah. Mary, is there talk about ways that maybe, you know, we can be a part of encouraging families that have adopted and added to their family?
Well, I think that's a really great conversation to have. It is true. We all can support an adoptive family, even if we are not all called to adopt ourselves. And, you know, some of the ways that a family could be supported are some of the normal ways that people rally around families anytime they add a new child to the family. Maybe meals could be arranged for the family for a few weeks after the new child comes home. Some people will throw baby showers even when it's not really a baby who's coming home. Lots of times it can be very helpful if a friend or a family member can drive some other kids to soccer practice or piano lessons or help with some of that juggling around that happens, especially in a family when there's more than one child. Lots of times in the first weeks and months, it's a really good idea for that child and the mom and maybe dad, if possible, to stay close to home and not have too many activities out in the world, just to help that child get settled into the family better. And so sometimes it can be a little bit challenging to find that time quiet and alone when other people are so eager to come and meet the new child. So there's this little tension between the longing to share the good news of this beautiful child arriving with the needs of that child, which may be really to stay close to home and to not be held by lots of different people. I'm talking specifically with regarding babies right now. It can be really confusing for a baby or a toddler to be passed around to a variety of different people when they were just in the last few days or weeks handed off from sometimes the only caregiver they ever knew into this stranger's arms who, well, now is their parent, but they don't quite feel it in their hearts yet. So it's great if extended family and friends and church members can be aware that it's going to take the child a while to settle into their new family, to ask how they can help out the new family, but to also understand that now may not be the best time to be passing the baby back and forth between various people, even as we're providing a warm greeting to this new little arrival.
Did you deal with things like ethnic background, so, maybe cornrows or other things that, you know, that they represent their ethnicity? I mean, how did you develop that into your regular living lifestyle and family?
Well, I definitely did have to learn how to do cornrows with four girls. There's, of course, great internet resources, videos that you can watch to learn about hair care of African-American children, which, by the way, is very important in the African-American community. So I think it's important for if you happen to be a white parent of a black child to to just be aware and make sure that kids' hair stays moisturized and not too dry and stays well tended. It's all certainly very doable, but it is a new thing for those of us who have straight hair. So we need to be brave enough to learn new things. And one nice thing about adopting children at younger ages is they don't realize whether you know how to do it yet or not. So you can practice on them while they're young. And they gradually get better by the time they start to care about how their hair looks. Hopefully you're good at cornrows by then.
Sure.
I remember when my older children, my two older girls from Ethiopia, the first time I braided my older daughter's hair, I at that point had only braided little baby hair. And she had curlier hair and lots more of it. And my first attempts at braids on her hair were not so good. And she was so gracious, bless her heart. I got better at it, but she kind of suffered with me for a little while as I was learning how to do her hair better. And she actually has been a great help with the younger girl's hair, too, because she's excellent at braids. So she can help with the younger kids now.
You mentioned that, you know, she's
a really important thing.
She's gracious. I mean, that, you know, children don't always act in a gracious way, whether they are natural born or otherwise. But, you know, how did you deal with maybe some of the barbs or the statements or the sharp comments from, you know, from your kids that you realize, well, you know, this is not really reality. It's just their experience.
Yeah. It can be hard. And boy, the less you can take it personally, the better your response will be, definitely. You know, they're speaking of their wounds, and they're not, I have to in my head say a lot, it's not about me. It can feel like it's about me, but really it often is about pain that a child is expressing that is related to something that happened in the past. And, you know, we as humans are like that. You know, if we have a hard day at work and come home and grump around at our family, you know, that's just what we do to each other when we live in a family. It's not a good thing to do, but that's how it is. So if we can just keep loving, address their heart needs, give them choices as much as possible, you know, but also, of course, say, hey, is there a kinder way you could have said that? Or, wow, you must be upset right now. And, you know, address the feelings while also encouraging and modeling kinder behavior too. And you're not always going to get anywhere in the moment with a frustrated child, but often you can come back later that same day or the next day and say, hey, that conversation earlier, I don't think it went so well. I think maybe I could have handled it better by doing X, Y, Z. What do you think you could have done in that situation that would have helped it go smoother? And often a calmed down child will be able to have that conversation in a way that he wouldn't be able to have that conversation right in that moment when he was so frustrated.
One of Mary's previous books is called The Sane Woman's Guide to Raising a Large Family. It probably would be helpful just for any family. Sane Woman's Guide to Raising a Family. We all need all the help we can get. This her latest is helpful as well. It's called Forever Mom. It's What to Expect When You're Adopting. And it has come out from Nelson, Thomas Nelson. Mary encourages moms through her books, her speaking, and her blog at owlhaven.net, owlhaven.net. And she lives with a high school sweetheart in Idaho, where she and her husband are parents of 10 children. And we're honored to just have her back with us today on Connecting Faith. We've got about 30 seconds left. Mary, if you wrote the book again today, was there anything you'd change?
I think I might cover domestic adoption just a little bit more because I didn't cover that enough. And I think I would probably just share more stories. You know, ever since I wrote the book, more stuff has happened. And so it's just really important for us as parents to remember we're all doing the best we can. And it's okay when we make mistakes, as long as we go back to our kids with humility and say, you know what, I love you, I care about you. Let's try this again tomorrow.
Mm. Mary, good to visit with you. So appreciate your good words today and your encouragement. The book, Forever Mom, What to Expect When You're Adopting. If you missed part of the show today, I encourage you to check it out online. We post the interviews on our website at myfaithradio.com. Go to the Connecting Faith show page.